Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Well, today we are continuing our series, Movies, Modern Day Parables. And if you're new to Next Level, I want to onboard you with why we do this series. The scriptures teach us that when Jesus taught the crowds, every time he taught them, he used what's called a parable. And a parable is simply a story with a point. And today, our movies are our modern-day parables. Whenever you watch a movie or even a television show, there is supposed to be a point to it. There is a message to it. And when you really dig in and ask some questions, you can figure out, what are they trying to say? What are they trying to communicate? And so today, since our movies are modern-day parables, we use this series as a way to look at some film clips and see how it points us back to the scriptures and ultimately back to God. And today's film came out in 2008, and it was a massive hit. It was nominated for 9 Academy Awards, and it won 8 of them, which is a really big deal. The film cost $15 million to make, but it brought in $381 million. That's a lot of money. It is a massive profit. And I do want to point out to you, because I know that sometimes when we highlight these films, families like to go that next day or that night and watch the film that we're going to show. I do want to highlight to you that this film is rated R. We won't be showing any offensive clips, at least I don't think they're offensive, in here. But I just wanted to let you know it's not for kids that are not old enough to participate in that film. With that being said, I now present to you today's parable, Slumdog Millionaire. Check it out.
Good evening, namaskar, sasekar, adab. Welcome to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Are you ready?
Please give a big round of applause.
Good luck,
to our very first contestant of the night, Jamal Malik from our very own Amchi Mumbai. Come on, let's play.
All right, now a couple questions for you. Who remembers the TV show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Remember that show? Okay, a lot of you. Great. Now here's the next question. How many of you have seen Slumdog Millionaire? Okay, that's a great, oh good, I'm impressed. There's a lot of you have seen it. That's awesome. Well, if you've never seen the film, it is about two brothers, Jamal and Salim, and they both grew up in the slums of India, and they both had very difficult lives, but each brother chooses a different path. And the main focus is on Jamal, and Jamal ends up on a television show. It's India's version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And as he's on the show, they ask questions, and they always give 4 options. And then it goes to flashbacks as to how he knows the answer to the question. And so it's a very creative way to weave the story throughout this film. So he's asked a question, and then it goes to his memory of how he knows the answer. And the first question that Jamal gets is about a famous actor from India, and this scene is a little bit gross, but I think it's funny, and hope you do too. Check this out.
So remember, you have 3 lifelines. Ask the audience, 50-50.
Phone a friend. So the first question for 1,000 rupees, here we go. Who was the star in the 1973 hit film, Zanjeer?
Look. Ye le paisa le paisa.
Hey Jamal, jaldi se bahar nikal. Prakash ko jaana hai.
Abhi puri khatam nahi
hui. Hey, time pass band kar yaar, bahut urgent hai yaar.
Sher maar rahi hai. Is pe koi time limit thodi na hota hai.
Lendi meri border pe aa gayi hai bhai. Jaldi kar.
कस्टमर बाहर खड़ा हो तो सब टाइम लिमिट होता है जमाल
पैसा दे मेरा चल पैसा दे साला भेंडी हट हट
साला तुमने तो मेरे धंधे की वाट लगा डाली
अमिताभ का हेलीकॉप्टर
अमिताभ का हेलीकॉप्टर।
अमिताभ, अमिताभ बच्चन।
सारी दुनिया जिसकी टांग उसका सर।
So Jamal knows the answer because he lived it. He experienced it. And I love celebrities, but I don't know if I'd be willing to go through that for an autograph. That was gag nasty. But the brothers end up being orphans, and it's a pretty sad story. And as they are orphaned and running through the streets and having to raise themselves, they end up meeting a third person that is very integral to the film. And the third person becomes their third amigo, and her name is Latika, and she plays a big part in this film. And this next scene shows Jamal and Latika talking, and I want you to pay careful attention to their dialogue and the words that they say. Check this out.
You came back for me?
Of course.
I thought you'd forgotten.
I never forgot. Not for one moment. I knew I'd find you in the end. It's our destiny.
Destiny.
So in the very first scene that we saw the options for how he knows the answers. And one of the options was it is written. And that idea of being written or destiny runs all throughout this film. How do things happen? Is it just by chance or accident? Or is there a divine destiny that connects everything together? And the film covers their childhood all the way up to 18 years old, where Jamal is on the television show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And he gets to a point where he finally doesn't know an answer, and he feels stumped. And at this point, they take a break from the television show. And I promise this is not like a potty humor movie, but there's another scene in the bathroom that sets up our next scene. Check this out.
I know. I can't stand the tension either. We'll be right back.
Guy from the slums becomes a millionaire overnight. You know who's the only other person who's done that? Me. I know what it feels like. I know what you've been through.
I'm not going to become a millionaire. I don't know the answer.
You've said that before, yeah.
No, really. This time I don't.
Come on, you can't take the money and run now. You're on the edge of history, kid.
I don't see what else I can do.
Maybe it's written, my friend.
don't know.
I just get some kind of gut feeling. You're gonna win this. Trust me, Jamal. You're gonna win.
So the host of the show lets him know that only one slumdog has ever made it from the slums to the television show and won the whole thing and become a millionaire. And the host says, the only person to do that is me. And Jamal lets him know, I don't know the answer. Like, this is the end of my road. And so the host then gives him an answer. He writes it in the mirror and he says, perhaps it is written, as if perhaps this is your destiny. Perhaps you have no say over what is about to happen. And then that leads to our final scene for today. Check it out.
Stand by, everyone. We're on live at 13. Rakesh, shall I get him back on the floor here? Pretty sweet.
Yeah, he's coming. He's coming. I'm just getting him.
Go fast.
20 seconds.
Do the right thing, and in approximately 3 minutes, you'll be as famous as me.
10 seconds.
And as rich as me. Almost.
5 seconds. 4, 3.
From rags to Raja. It's your destiny.
We are on. Applause and music, please.
Welcome back to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. In the chair tonight is Jamal Malik. Yeah. As if we don't know.
For 10 million rupees.
The question once again. Which cricketer has scored the most first-class centuries in history?
No, it isn't Sachin Tendulkar.
That's a start. So it could be Ricky Ponting, Jack Hobbs, or Michael Slater.
So at this point, he is faced with a dilemma. He chooses to use the 50-50 and eliminates two options, and he's left with two options, and one of those options is B. And so now he has to make the decision, do I trust the host and make this decision, or do I go with my gut? And as you saw in that scene, the host once again says, it is written, it is your destiny. This is the theme and the parable of the whole entire film, that lots of things happen to us, but there are certain things that are written in history that we don't have a say over. Another way to say this is, are our lives planned out, or do we write our own story? Are our lives planned out, or do we play a part in writing of our story? Does everything happen for a reason? Like, do we just show up and we have no choice in it, and we are a part of some big destiny? Do the things that happen to us, do they happen because we don't have a say in it, but because it is written by God? That's something that the Bible actually has amazing insight on. And I want to show you our theme verse and how it parallels what happens in the film Slumdog Millionaire. Our theme verse, it's written by the Apostle Paul, and it's found in his letter to the church in Rome. Romans is one of Paul's most theologically profound letters, and there's a lot of depth to it and a lot of understanding about God. And at Next Level, we want to honor the text because we believe it is the written word of God. The way that we do that is by standing to our feet. So I want to invite you to stand to your feet and read with me nice and loud Romans 8, 28. When we get to the reference, Romans 8, 28, you'll see two dots between the 8 and the 28. We like to have a little bit of fun, and we just pump our fists and say dot, dot. I want to invite you to do the dot, dot with us. Will you read it with me nice and loud? It says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Romans 8, dot, dot, 28. Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes, and pray with me? God, we ask that you would speak to our hearts, that you would give us wisdom and insight to understand our world better, to understand you better, and to understand ourselves better. And God, I ask that you would speak to us in a personal way, and that you'd give us the courage to do whatever you tell us to do. And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So if you've never seen the film Slumdog Millionaire, or if it's been a while since you've seen it, the movie does an amazing job of showing us how things are connected. There are things in this world that are written, they're predetermined, but at the same time, there is a freedom in between those things. And in church circles, it comes down to two different terms. If you grew up in the church, maybe you're familiar with these terms. The terms are free will versus predestination. So this is the idea that the film wrestles with throughout. Do we have a free will? Do we have a say in it? Or are things predestined? Now, if you're taking notes, which I encourage you to do, here are some definitions for us that will help us understand all this. Free will, the definition is a person's destiny is undetermined by God. Now, this is the most simplest form of the definition. There's a lot more to free will than what I have time to go into, but just as the simplest form, free will is saying a person's destiny is undetermined by God. You have a say in your destiny. You have a say in what happens. You have a say if whether you go to heaven or you spend eternity separated from God. You have a say in that. That your destiny is undetermined by God. Predestination, on the other hand, is a person's destiny is determined by God. So predestination is a person's destiny is determined by God. So I don't have a say in it. Whether I end up in heaven or not, God predetermined that. Who I marry, God predetermined that. The choices that we make are predetermined. You didn't have a choice in whether or not you wanted to be here today. It was predetermined by a divine destiny. And if you grew up in church circles, you may have been influenced by one or either of these. If you grew up in these church denominations, you grew up learning more about free will. So if you grew up in church and you grew up a Methodist or most Baptist or Pentecostals, then you grew up learning or hearing a lot about free will and probably did not hear a lot about predestination. And so that influenced your upbringing. If you grew up, though, in another denomination, maybe you learned all about predestination and you didn't hear much about free will. Here's church denominations that teach predestination: Roman Catholics, Lutherans, Presbyterians, and Reformed Baptist churches. Now, you'll see that Baptists are on both lists. That's because Baptists have a lot of freedom within each of their denominations to decide. So some of you may have grown up Baptist, and it was very much a predestination. Some of you may have grown up Baptist, and it was more free will. They give you the choice on how to do that. But depending on what denomination, if you grew up in church, it influenced how you understood the world that we live in, and it influenced how you understand God. Now, if you're here today and you say, well, I didn't even grow up in church, I still would say you've wrestled with this or thought about this. You've still thought about, do I have a free will, or is there something out there that's planning all of this? In fact, I know lots of church people, but I know a ton of unchurched people who say this phrase over and over again. Everything happens for a reason. When someone says everything happens for a reason, even if they don't know what they're saying, what they are implying is there is some divine being that is connecting everything together. The reason this event happened is there is a divine reason for it. And a person, I've heard atheists say this, everything happens for a reason. And I'm like, well, what's the reason? Like, what's the divine being? Like, what is connecting all the dots? It's a phrase that people use to give themselves some hope. That I'm not suffering for no reason. I'm not just going through a difficult time. There is some plan. There is some destiny. It is written that somehow all this is going to come together. Now, whatever you believe will drastically impact how you view God, especially when you go through a difficult circumstance. When life is going great, we don't think a lot about free will or predestination, but it's when life is hard, when it is difficult, then we start to ask tough questions. And what you feel about God in the midst of suffering in a trial will matter a lot to you. Because if you believe that everything is predestined and you are going through a difficult season, you could start to blame God or could start to say, God, why are you doing this to me? But if you believe in free will, then you may take all the responsibility on yourself and say, well, did I do something wrong? Is the reason that I'm going through this because I've messed up, because it was my choice? Now, please know that in Christianity, there's a lot of freedom to believe one of these two things. But for me personally, my personal bend and my personal lean is I don't think we have to choose. I think both of these things are taught throughout the scriptures, and I think they actually go together. that I don't think we have to get rid of or ignore this idea of predestination, and I think it's irresponsible to get rid of the idea of free will. And I want to show you this in our scriptures for today. In Romans 8, verse 28, it's our theme verse that we read. It says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." So if you grew up believing more predestination, then you're going to see this verse and say, oh, there it proves it. God does everything on purpose. God does everything for a reason. God does all this for our good. If you're a person that grew up more free will, you would say, hold on a second. That doesn't say that God did all those things. It just says he works all things. So depending on how you grew up, it may interpret how you actually understand this verse. Well, I believe that there is a big difference between God causing all things to happen and God using all things that happen. There's a massive difference between saying it is God's fault that this happened and saying, okay, God, here's a tragedy. Let's see what you can do with this. How can you use this difficult situation? I don't personally believe that every bad thing that happens is a result of God doing something or trying to teach us a lesson. Some things are. If a person chooses to go get drunk and then drives and cause an accident, they should not blame God because that was their free will that they chose to do it. But there are also other situations that just seem really big and they seem really heavy, and you wrestle with it and you start to say, okay, well, who is to blame with this? Like, who do I cause and say, is it my fault, or God, are you trying to do something through this? And in the church world, it gets really, really messy when people struggle and when people go through difficulties, because people will throw these verses at them and it just doesn't help. Like, for example, when my wife and I went through 10 years of infertility, and when we went through a miscarriage, we had well-meaning people who would come up to us and say, well, God did this for a reason. God did this to teach you guys something. God did this so that you could be a light, so that you could help other people who have gone through miscarriages. And I just want to tell you, I reject that wholeheartedly. I don't think God did that. It happened. It happened, and we know the reason why it happened, because my wife has a medical condition that led to that. But I do not think that was God in the universe trying to teach us something. That would be like, just stick with me for a second, okay? My kids have asked us over and over again, please get us a puppy. We just want a puppy. And we know that they want a puppy. We have reasons for saying no. We let them go over to other people's houses that have dogs, and we hope that's enough for them. But we've given our reasons why we're not going to give them a dog. But let's just say, just for a second, my kids have asked so much, they finally worn us down, and we said, okay, we're going to give you a puppy. And Christmas morning comes, and they open the present, and they have a puppy, and they feel so much joy. But then right after they get the puppy, we open the door and let the dog run out, and it runs away, and they lose it forever. And they said, well, why did you do that? And we said, well, we wanted to teach you a lesson. Like, no good parent would do that. And what does the scripture say about God? It says that he is the perfect heavenly father. So why would God in his goodness try to teach us a lesson by damaging us in that way? That when you look at the circumstance of the miscarriage, that wasn't something that was a result of us making a choice. We didn't drink and then drive and then cause harm. We couldn't say that's our fault. But at the same time, was that the God of the universe who was saying, hey, I want to teach them something. I want to make them better. So I'm going to put them through this really difficult season. I don't think so. I think we have free will. And there is, though, some sense of God does have a plan. And when you go through suffering, it actually gives you hope, because it's like, okay, God, I have some choices in this, and I'm going to choose to praise you even though this is a difficult circumstance. I'm going to choose to believe that you take messy, broken circumstances and you turn them into good. When I give you my brokenness, you form it into good. Not that you cause something bad so that good could come out of it, but that you take my bad and you turn it into something good. Do you see and understand the difference? There's a massive difference between God causing all things to happen and God using all things. God uses every circumstance in our life. Every circumstance. When we give it to him, God uses it to make us more like him, to make us more generous, to make us learn how to love people. He uses it all. But that doesn't mean that God causes all things. Let's see what Paul says next in Romans 8, 29 through 30. It says, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. All right, did you see the word predestined in there? I don't know how anyone can read the scriptures and ignore the fact that there is some form of predestination that happens. If you grew up in a church that just taught free will and only taught free will, and you weren't exposed to any idea of predestination, I don't think that's a fully honest way to wrestle with the scriptures, because you can't ignore that predestination is in there. But at the same time, there are some who are so hyper-focused on predestination that they act like if you wipe your nose, that was the will of God forced upon you. And I'm like, I don't see that happening. I think I have a choice on it. I think I have a choice if I want to use my sleeve or a tissue when I wipe my nose. I think I can choose that. And I don't think if I use a tissue, that was the God of the universe saying, thus saith the Lord, you will only use a Kleenex. Like, I think I have a say in it. There is predestination and there is free will. I personally lean with what theologian Charles Spurgeon said when he said, I never have to reconcile friends. Divine sovereignty and human responsibility have never had a falling out with each other. I do not need to reconcile what God has joined together. So God has joined these two ideas together, and it doesn't make a lot of sense to us. How can free will and predestination go together? Well, it's God. God has figured it out a way for those two things to go together. That God has linked these two things, that they are actually friends. They're not enemies. They don't have to be in competition. And this is something that I think it can be really helpful for us. Because to think that it is always God's fault removes our own personal responsibility. We do have a personal responsibility in things. Your actions matter. What you do matters. So just to say, well, it's all on God, that removes the personal responsibility. But at the same time, to pretend that God's not involved in this world, that removes the sovereignty of God. If you're taking notes, here's another definition for you. What is the sovereignty of God? The sovereignty of God is God's absolute right to do all things according to his good pleasure. That's the sovereignty of God. And as a Christian, we believe that God is sovereign. He has the right to do whatever he wants to do. So if I die and go to heaven and God says, hey, you know that thing that you thought was your choice? I predestined. I did it. Who am I to argue with God? If God does what he wants to do, if God makes choices, even if they're difficult choices, he's God. He has the right to do that. God has the absolute right to do all things according to his good pleasure. What I love about the movie Slumdog Millionaire is that it marries these two ideas together. That there is, throughout the film, there's this idea of destiny, and it is written, and that there is some divine thing leading the choices that they make. But at the same time, each person is responsible for their own actions. That someone makes a bad choice, and there's consequences to that, and they don't blame God for that bad choice. They take responsibility for it. That something bad happens, and they're not like, God, why did you do this to me? It's like, no, we made a bad choice, and we're going to take responsibility for it. But at the same time, there is this divine destiny. It's like this. Take responsibility for your decisions as you chase your divine destiny. I think that's a pretty cool way to look at the world. Take responsibility for your decisions. Don't put everything back on God. Don't put every decision, every bad choice, don't say God made me do it or it's God's fault. Don't blame the devil. Take responsibility. There are some things you need to take responsibility for, but at the same time, we need to chase our divine destiny. I had a seminary professor one time who explained it like this. He said that Americans struggle with predestination because when we read scriptures, like the one I just read, where it says you are predestined, we read it as an individual you, right? Because Americans think about ourselves and we're individualistic. And we're like, of course that's written to me. It's meaning me personally. But he said where Americans miss it, he was from South Africa. And so he said where Americans miss it is that Paul was not an American. Paul was from the Middle East. And when Paul would say you, he wasn't talking about an individual. He was talking about corporate together. He was talking about the church. He was talking about Christians. And maybe the way that the predestination and free will works is that God has predestined for the church to do great things in the world. And you have the free choice to decide if you want to be a part of it. That God has chosen in his sovereignty, in his will. He said, you know how I want to change the world? I want to do it through the local church. The church is God's bride. It's Jesus' bride. And he says, there are going to be some things that I'm going to use the church to, but you have a say with whether or not you want to join it or not. That's how we take responsibility for our decisions as we chase our divine destiny. We get to be a part of what God wants to do through the local church. So you have a choice on whether or not you want to serve or not. You have a choice on whether or not you want to be in group or not. You have a choice on whether or not you want to attend or not. But the amazing thing is when we choose to be a part of the local church, we are choosing to be a part of our divine destiny. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you so much that you're a God who is in total control and that we're not just wandering around this earth trying to figure things out. But God, we also take responsibility that we do have a free will. We have a choice in all of this. And so we just ask in Jesus' name that you would help us to continue to marry these two ideas together, that we would live in your divine destiny, that we would choose things that matter and are eternal and not just choose our selfishness. And we thank you, God, for what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.